What is up, everybody? It is Chris Akin from the Classic Metal Show and the Aftershocks podcast. And I just wanted to remind you that if you are a podcast listener to the Classic Metal Show or Aftershocks or the Shockwave Skull Sessions, which you all should be, you can now get all three in one location. That's right, one location. It is on the CMS Podcast Network. That's right. Just go to anchor.fm/CMSPN, as in CMS Podcast Network. Just go there. Make sure you subscribe. No matter which platform you're using, there's links to all of them there, whether it's Apple or Pocket Casts or Breaker or CastBox or whatever. Whatever you use, it is there. So get yourself subscribed to the CMS Podcast Network, and you will get three great shows all in one location. So do it today. Subscribe to the CMS Podcast Network. That is anchor.fm/CMSPN. Do it!
It is your Classic Metal Show right here on the ClassicMetalShow.com. Kicking off the show tonight, we heard something from Aftershock from their Burning Chrome release with When Comes the Rain, and as a salute to all great Americans who believe in this country and who are still patriotic and who still believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and the people who do not kneel for the national anthem, and people who do not riot, and people who do not support Black Lives Matter. It's Judas Priest with United, and a guy who actually serve this country in the military, and a guy who remembers 9/11 as much as the rest of us, for most of us anyway, is my good friend and partner, Chris Akin. What's going on, Chris?
What is up, sir? Welcome back.
Well, I'm here and I'm glad to be back. I feel very comfortable in this studio seat, ready to entertain the folks.
Well, they're ready for it. Since most of them hate John, they're ready to have you back.
Well, you know what? I actually listened to some of the show last week, and I'm going to tip my hat to John. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he stayed sober. That was good.
Well, I thought that he was on topic. He was. Now, I got to admit, though, when he starts his giggling like a girl, all I could think of is the old 60s TV show Flipper.
Yeah,
they call him Flipper.
He does have a unique laugh.
He has a cackle like a porpoise. He does. I was going to grab some of his laughter and get a porpoise sound. I was going to run it back to back, but I was too lazy to do that.
Nice.
But that was the initial thought.
That's funny. Yeah, no, we did a good show, a surprisingly sober show, a surprisingly on topic show.
Yeah, you did. I listened to the full live last week. I listened to the full segment on the Bill and Ted movie.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I thought the discussion was pretty lively and, you know, pretty dead on. And, you know, both of you made some pretty good, you know, assessments, pretty good points on, you know, on that. I have not seen the movie. I mean, anybody who grew up, you know, who was, you know, in their teens or in their 20s in the 80s and into the early 90s, probably enjoyed the Bill and Ted Adventure movies.
Yeah.
And I just saw the advertisements. I have not seen any of the movie, but yeah, a little long in the tooth to be doing a Bill and Ted movie. Yeah. I don't know. It's like one of my favorite movie franchises, Clerks.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to see Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes do another Clerks movie at this point. They're both looking a little haggard.
Yeah. Well, and as we said before, they did the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and that wasn't very good.
Not so good.
No, it was just kind of bleh.
Yeah, and it was kind of the same premise.
Mm-hmm.
They're grown, and there's kids involved now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, I don't want to see that.
Yep. Well, if you really want to watch the Bill and Ted, I'll share you a link so that you can watch it. Cause I purchased it, of course. So, you know, I of course spent $35 to watch it.
Yeah. That's what I heard on the show last week. I was listening to you. You spent the big money to have the whole, you know, the whole kit and caboodle as it goes.
Well, you know what? It was $24 for the one or $35 for all three. And I like the first two, so I figured I can't really go wrong. And so I bought the three pack and I'll watch the first two from here on out. You know, I'll never watch that one again. That movie sucks.
It's unfortunate. I mean, you try to relive some past glories and so on and so forth. And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of lost its appeal.
Yeah.
The luster is gone. The polish is all gone.
Yeah. They go from being, you know, silly and juvenile to just dummies.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. That attitude works when you're 20, but when you're in your 50s, you just come off like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, I haven't seen Keanu Reeves in anything recently aside from those, was John, what, John Wick?
John Wick, yeah.
He has not aged well.
No, he talk about long in the tooth. My goodness.
How old is Keanu Reeves? He can't be more much older than me.
He's got to be our age. Let's see here. Keanu Reeves' age. He is 56.
Yeah, he's a year younger than me. Yeah. I'm actually 56. I'll be 57 at the end of the year, but still. I looked at that guy and I was just like, holy shit, what happened to him?
Yeah, I know. It definitely, you know? He definitely, they might have made him look a little bit older in the movie.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, he just, you know, that Withers kid guy, you know, he just looks like a, you know, he's kind of just an older version of himself.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it. You know, I'll watch it. I'll give it a 2-hour waste of time.
Yeah, why not?
So anyway, but yeah, not a bad show last week. I sat and listened to, as I said, I listened to the review last week live. I was sitting outside on Don's deck at his house and,
okay,
having a few cocktails and listening to the show,
right,
and enjoying it.
Well, good.
So anyway, I traveled last week, as most people are aware.
Sure.
And I went out to New Mexico. Don invited me out to spend 4 days out there at his place in New Mexico. So I went to Santa Fe.
Right.
And, you know, traveling this time with this COVID anyway is interesting still. I mean, it's actually getting busier because the last time I flew was back in, when was that? Was that, I guess it was the first part of August.
Right.
I flew in March. See, March. No, I flew. No, I went to, I went to Roanoke. And the plane was empty. And this time, all the flights that I were on, the planes were full.
Okay.
So people are breaking out of the whole afraid to travel thing.
Right.
But the rules are so stupid. It's just the dumbest goddamn thing I ever heard. I mean, of course, you got to wear a mask everywhere you go.
Right.
You got to wear one in the airport. You got to wear it for the whole flight. But the rules on alcohol service is bizarre.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. So I don't know if it's just from state to state or whatever, but so I flew out of Chicago.
Right.
Look at that picture. That's too silly. So I flew out of Chicago and, let me back up. I'll give you a rundown here. So I flew out on Thursday morning.
Right.
So I spent the night over at a Hilton near Chicago O'Hare because my flight took off at 8:30 in the morning. So I wasn't going to, you know, leave the house at 5 to get out there.
Sure.
So I just decided to stay at a hotel there close to the airport so I wouldn't have to be rushing around in the morning.
Right.
So I'm at the bar. There's one other guy in the bar and the bartender.
Okay.
This big hotel, there's nobody there. I mean, right. You know, I get it. I get people aren't traveling and whatnot, but I just don't know how these corporations stay in business, because I was at this hotel. It's one of the, you know, better hotel and a nice Hilton. So I go in the bar and it's just one guy and the bartender. That's it.
Nice.
So I walk in and, you know, they're both sitting there just shooting the shit and nothing to do. And I came in and sit down, and both of them, interestingly enough, in liberal Chicago,
right?
Both of them were Trump supporters.
Okay.
And we were talking about the whole mask thing and everything. And we were all in agreement that this is a bunch of bullshit and that it's, that it's a conspiracy.
Right.
So we got into the whole, not so much political talk, but just how much upheaval is going on prior to the election.
Sure.
Trying to tip the balance somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy at the end of the bar, he kind of chimed in a little bit, and the bartender, boy, he had a lot to say.
Right.
And it was kind of interesting to hear these guys talk, because they believe the same exactly the way that I do, or our thoughts were exactly the same about all the garbage that's going on with all the political unrest and the riots and the Black Lives Matter and the you know, the mask and the pandemic and the shutting down the country. And, you know, people are tired of it.
Well, yeah, they definitely are.
So, you know, I got their perspective from it, and they were, you know, just like, yeah, it's exactly, you know, so kind of had a good chat in the bar. So anyway, I get to the airport, Thursday morning, and, you know, of course it's all masks and this and that, but the one great thing about traveling, you don't have to wait in line very long to get through security.
Nice.
You just walk right in the airport, walk right up to the TSA agent and walk through the security, and you're in. I mean, you don't stand there and wait for anything because there's nobody in line.
Right. Walk up to the agent, he grabs your balls, and on you go, right?
Basically, that's it. You know, the funny thing is that, of course, you have to wear a mask. So when you walk up there with your driver's license, your ID, could you pull your mask down, sir?
No, I don't want to breathe your air, fuckwad.
Because they want to compare your face to your ID.
That's when you say, well, you put your mask on so that I can fucking not breathe your air, fucky.
Well, they were wearing their masks, but it's just funny that you know, you got to wear a mask, but you got to pull it down to identify yourself.
Yeah, but no risk there.
No.
No risk there at all, because every single person that comes through the TSA is pulling their mask down to breathe and all their fucking funk. If there is such a thing as fucking COVID funk, every single person that's getting on a plane is laying it onto the fucking TSA, whatever you call that thing, detector, the metal detector or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you get through there, and so if you wanted to go to the bar, you could order a drink if you wanted.
Yeah.
But you can't, in Chicago, you had to drink it within the confines of the bar, which makes sense.
Okay.
But when I flew into Dallas to catch my connector to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
You could order a drink at the bar, but they put it in a to-go glass and you had to leave the bar area to consume it.
So what, you drink it while you're walking around?
Yes.
But you're supposed to wear a mask when you're walking around.
Well, yeah, you can take the mask down while you're consuming whatever it is that you're consuming, but you can't stand at the bar and consume whatever it is that you bought.
This is the dumbest fucking.
I know. It's the weirdest goddamn thing. So, you know, I didn't realize that was the rule, because I walked into a bar to get a cocktail because it was like noon or so.
Right.
And, I noticed that there's no chairs at the bar. All the chairs are all stacked up in the corner.
Oh yeah.
So you walk in there and you order, you know, I ordered a Chicago style dog and a Jack and Coke. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, well, you can't drink that here. You have to wait to get your order. Oh, that was the other thing. You have to order food if you order a drink. You can't just order a drink. You have to get food with it.
So COVID knows to only react to people that don't eat food while they drink.
Yes, exactly. Now
I see.
Well, when Sal and I came to Ohio 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
we went to go get something to eat, and I was going to have a cocktail, but the girl says you have to order something if you order a drink. That's the rule for, and there was really no explanation for it.
Right.
you have to order food if you get a drink. And that's the same way it was in Dallas, but you had to take your food and drink away from the bar and go consume it in the concourse.
Yeah. So stupid.
So then when you board the plane, there's no beverage, food or beverage services on the planes now.
Okay.
None.
Right.
So when you board the plane, you're supposed to quote unquote observe social distancing. So you got to walk, 6 feet apart from the person getting on the plane in front of you, but you sit for 2 hours on the plane right next to the person.
Yeah, of course.
But then when you get off the plane, even though you're all sitting together for a 2 hour flight on the plane, then they announce that they're practicing social distancing. So they were only allowing two people at a time to get up from their row.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And I've just been sitting here for 2 hours among four people around me, and now we're practicing social distancing to get off the plane. Are you kidding me?
And they're treating you like you're a fucking 6-year-old in first grade. Row one.
That's exactly right. First row, you may get up, second row, you may get up.
Third row, stand by. Fuck out of here.
It was just the most bizarre thing. And it was just like, how is this helping anything?
How about this? You're all breathing the same air in a tube.
Yes.
You got 100 people breathing the same bullshit in and out in a tube.
Yeah.
And what, you think exiting the plane 6 feet apart is going to make it safer, you fucking jizzballs? Holy shit.
So, when you fly, they always do the whole safety thing where they show you the masks drop down and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But due to the COVID, they will not be demonstrating how to put the mask on.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because then the steward or stewardess or flight waitress or whatever you want to call her,
faggot,
she would have to take their mask off or put this thing on, or the last person who had it close to their mouth, they can't have that.
Good. I hope somebody actually dies because their plane loses pressure and they put the fucking air mask on over their other mask and can't breathe.
Yeah,
I hope it happens from not getting their lesson from fucking Delta or whoever.
Yeah, from American.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So then, of course, the menagerie of people that you see traveling that have their own way of traveling, I guess.
Okay.
I literally saw people wearing a face mask and a shield.
Oh, good.
Like one of those orthodontist shields or one of those, talking about.
Yeah.
So they were wearing the cloth mask over their mouth and nose, and then they had a shield on in front of them.
Well, that's pretty safe, but next time they should go with the astronaut helmet as well.
Yeah, exactly.
To make completely sure that they protect themselves from anybody else's breath. Jesus.
Then the people who wear the rubber gloves, those are the other ones that made me laugh. The ones who are actually wearing the rubber gloves and the mask and the shield.
Right.
It's like, well, why don't you just wrap yourself in hefty trash bags while you're at it?
Why don't you just open your closet and crawl in it and never come out? Just hide. Just hide, because you're too big of a fucking pussy to come out.
Yeah.
You do realize that half the buildings you've gone in for your entire life are full of fucking lead paint, right? And you're breathing that shit and asbestos everywhere you fucking go, right? You get that, don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus. Idiots.
So anyway, the traveling is just bizarre. It's like bizarre world.
It's stupid is what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, again, all the discussion, if you talk to anybody, hey, you know anybody who's had this? Do you know anybody who's had this? I haven't talked to one person yet who's had this. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one. It's like, do you know anybody? No. Well, I heard of somebody, but do you know anybody? No, don't know anybody.
Yeah, I know more people that have lost their fucking houses in California from the fires than from coronavirus. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, so I flew out to Santa Fe, and I got out there around, I guess it was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, mountain time.
Right.
And Don picked me up, and we went to one of his favorite little dive, you know, little bar restaurant places over there.
Right.
You know, it's you know, it's the Southwest. So everything's adobe out there, and very, very scenic though. Very scenic area.
Right.
So we went to one of his favorite little places that has really good food. You know, they serve the, you know, your typical Southwest fare, the tacos and the you know, that type of stuff.
Right.
And so we went and had margaritas and some lunch.
Okay.
I just sat there having margaritas, talking about all the bullshit going on.
Okay. Now, did you have to wear a mask when you went to have these margaritas?
When you go in there, you have to wear a mask, but once you're seated, then you can take it off.
Ah, so COVID knows when you're ready to order.
It does.
That's good.
It does.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a very, well, like I said before, this China virus is very intelligent. It does come from China after all. So
it doesn't want you to starve.
No, it knows to stay away when you're eating.
That's right.
It knows to attack if you're having a cocktail without food,
mm-hmm.
But it knows to stay away if you're consuming food and a cocktail.
Well, yeah. Corona does not want you to starve. It wants you to have a good meal.
Exactly.
It's good. Yeah. Nice virus.
Yeah. So regardless of, you know, regardless of all the restrictions and stuff, this little place was, you know, hopping pretty good.
That's good.
You know, it was a Thursday afternoon, and, you know, they had an outdoor porch area and outdoor patio seating and stuff. And that was all full, but Don and I sat in the bar. We were the only ones in the bar area.
And, how does that work with him? Do people come up to him all the time? They're like, hey, buddy.
Well, you know, he knows the guy who owns the place.
Right.
And you know, the people that work there know him, and okay. So he goes in, you know, they greet him and stuff. But what was really funny is that he was, being that he's in New Mexico, and his girlfriend, she works in the movie industry out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the state does, and the reason why a lot of movies are shot in New Mexico, is because they have a rebate program.
Okay.
That they give them like a 50%, like, I think it's like a 50% kickback.
All right.
On the tax break.
Right. Okay.
You know, if you film in New Mexico. So there's a lot of movies and things that are filmed in New Mexico. A lot of them I wasn't even aware of.
Right.
But he was wearing a hat that said "Make America Native Again."
Okay.
And we were sitting there having lunch, and the restaurant owner, the bar owner, came over to say hello to him. And he says, "I had to come over here." He says, I saw your hat, and I was like, "Is Don actually wearing a MAGA hat?" Because then I realized what it really says. He says, "I just couldn't believe that anyone here could actually wear a hat like that."
Nice.
So I just thought that was kind of funny. That, oh, alarm, alarm. Somebody's wearing a MAGA hat around here. Where's Jesse Smollett when you need?
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. But that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And so we went to his place, and he's doing a lot of improvements around there. So he and I went to the Home Depot and picked up some building supplies and you know things that he's doing improvements on the house with.
Right.
So I kind of helped him out with all that stuff, and you know, so basically we just kind of hung out and shot the shit, and you know, just his girlfriend was there, and his girlfriend's sister, and so we just all just hung out for a few days. And I went to one of my favorite movies, and I know he shared some of the photos with you.
Sure.
But you know, being that his girlfriend, she's in the movie business or production business, she took me to Las Vegas, New Mexico, which is where they filmed a Longmire, mm-hmm. and they filmed quite a few scenes from No Country for Old Men.
Right, right.
And the movie, John Carpenter's Vampires.
Right.
They filmed that there. So she took me over there one afternoon, and I sent you a few photos of some of the No Country for Old Men scene.
Right.
So that was kind of cool to see that stuff.
Sure.
You know, so that was fun to do that. And one evening we went out to one of her producer friends, had an outdoor, like a little gathering. And so we had, we went there and had, you know, outdoor food and whatnot at their house. Well, and just kind of hung out. It was just a nice, relaxing getaway.
Yeah, got the fuck away from the Chicago.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
And I saw they had a nice, like, 60, 65 people shot while you were away.
Yeah.
You know.
It is such a shit show, man.
It is. It's insane.
So, anyway, now football has started, and I see that Thursday night's game was a debacle with people booing, and the ratings were down, and people are just finally stepping up and showing the NFL what they really think of this garbage.
Well, they can have it. I'm not watching. I'm done. I did not watch Thursday.
I didn't watch anything either.
I wasn't even tempted. I was like, I just know it's going to be a shit show, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care. You know, I heard that Andy Reid looked like a douche with a fucking face shield that got all fogged up or something.
Face shield.
He was wearing I haven't even seen a clip of it. I just heard Clay Travis talking about it. He was wearing a face shield and it got all fogged up on him, so he couldn't see the field. You fucking rube. What an idiot.
So when is this going to be over?
November, what, 5th?
Third.
That's the election.
The day after the election.
Yeah. The day they finally give up fighting the results.
Yeah, of course. Right.
So what do you say, January 1st?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Under no circumstances should Biden concede, no matter what. Hey, Joe, 50 states, all 50 states went to Trump. I'm still not conceding.
I don't believe it. I demand a recount.
So what a mess.
It is a fucking
disaster. I never would have believed at this point. You know, it just gets more bizarre and worse every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Every week you think it can't get worse than this. And then it does every single fucking week. That's why I'm just settled into TV now. I'm settled into old TV and streaming TV where I don't have to fucking hear about any of it.
Yeah.
And it's been good.
Bizarro world.
Yep.
So anyway, that was my little getaway for the Labor Day holiday. And I want to thank Don and his girlfriend for being, you know, very, very hospitable and allowing me to invade their place for a few days and hang out and
just
to relax, because every morning I would get up, you know, he lives on top of a mountain, which overlooks the Santa Fe Valley. Mm-hmm. So he has a porch out there that I would get up and go out on the porch and just sit out there for about an hour or so and just kind of be in a serene place, you know?
Right.
Just kind of look out, a lot of birds, just kind of sit there and just kind of chill.
Now, is that his main place, or is that his second home?
Well, that's kind of his main place now, because he's got a home with a guest house in the back in Beverly Hills, and he's rented both of them out now.
Okay.
So he's living mainly in Santa Fe now.
Okay.
So he's making money on his other two houses and living in that one.
Right.
So, but he's got a studio. Since his girlfriend's sister is there, they have a little guest house area. Well, she's staying there for a while. And so basically I stayed in Don's studio.
Okay.
They had one of those, you know, blow up beds.
Right.
Somewhere. And so I stayed in his studio and, you know, it was cool. Very, very chill. Very accommodating.
Yeah. When the album comes out, you can say, yeah, I slept where they recorded that.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I know that he's a little frustrated with the progress that he's been making. He's got 7 songs.
Right.
And your buddy John, he's like MIA.
I haven't heard from him in months.
You know, I text with him a little bit. I was trying to motivate him to come out of his shell, but he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he's scared.
So
he's a Corona bro, as Clay Travis likes to say. He's scared of everything,
I guess. He's just like, yeah, you know, I'm just waiting on John to, you know, finish up some tracks and things for me, and you know, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like the old days where Don could just pick up a guitar himself and play it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. You know, he says, when, you know, I got a lot of the music written and stuff, but I can't play it. So I got to kind of show John or instruct him what I need him to play.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not anywhere to be found.
Yeah, call George up. He's not doing Lynch Mob anymore. He's got a little time.
Well, that's the weird thing. You know, because Don's got that contract with the Silver Lining Records, which,
right,
you know, just put out that Lost Songs.
Right.
And they're going to put out the new record. Well, both George and Jeff got a hold of Don and sent him like 2 or 3 songs.
Yeah.
And said, hey, let's do a docking record. And he's like, well, I've already got a contract with Silver Lining. I can't do another record under docking with you guys.
Right.
Oh, well, fine then.
No, fuck you.
it's like I'm already committed to another label right now. I can't, you know, because I guess Frontiers, you know, showed some interest in having an original docking record. It's just like, well, who's going to play drums? Because Mick is MIA.
Yeah.
He's nowhere to be found.
Maybe those guys know where he is.
Well, they know where he is. I mean, Don knows where he is, but he's not playing. He's not playing drums at all. He sold his drum kit and everything.
Yeah, right amount of money. He'd probably show up.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, so it's just like, he says, I can't do anything with you guys. I'm doing another docking record over here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then don't take these songs.
Yeah. Then fuck off. Don't steal our ideas, man.
Well, that really was what it boiled down to. It's like, don't take our songs. It's like, I'm not going to take your songs.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I've been known to write a song or two myself, friends. So
I don't know. It's a weird world we live in.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that world hasn't changed in fucking 40 years. Those guys still are fucking all weird.
Yeah.
With each other.
Yeah. But I tell you what, the most enjoyable thing about hanging out with Don, and I know everybody knows this when he's on the show, that guy has got stories for days. I've known Don for 25 years, and he can tell me more stories than I ever heard before.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I've heard a few of the stories before, but he always has new ones all the time. Right. And it's just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You know, he tells me these stories. He was just telling me some stories about years and years ago, different things. And I'm just sitting there just like, holy shit, really? just fucking train wreck shit.
Right.
It's like, how did you get this far? Not that he was like doing anything fucky. It's just circumstances.
Yeah. Well, they all were. That, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is everybody that was in that scene was a fucking wreck.
Yes, absolutely.
So there are stories for fucking days from all of those guys.
Yeah.
You know.
But his sense of humor, I just sit there and crack up listening to his stories, man. Just the way he tells some of the fucked up stories from, you know, from the days gone by, it's just like, holy shit. He goes, sure. Yeah, well, eventually this will probably be in a book sometime.
Yeah. I doubt it. He'll never write it.
Well, he says he's in the process.
Of writing a book?
Yeah, he's doing like the dragon speak type thing.
Right. And who's gonna edit it?
He's got some gal that works with his girlfriend. She's a editor on scripts.
All right. Well, good.
So she's got the editing thing.
Right.
So she just tells him, you know, well, when you're inspired to tell a story or, you know, whatever, just do the whole dragon speak thing and send it to me, and then I'll put it in in book form.
Right. So that, I didn't even know dragon speak was still a thing.
I'm not saying it's that specifically. I'm just using that like clean, yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, good. I'd read that.
Yeah. So anyway, lots of story there.
Because you know his stories will be don't give two fucks about anything.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's just like, you know, when if and when this book comes out, he says a lot of people are going to be pissed off.
Good.
Because I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
That's the book he should put out on his very last tour. Take it around with him to sell at the shows, and then that's it. I'm done. I'm mm-hmm. never going to go out again. And good thing too, because none of these fucks will ever play a show with me again.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard some of those stories, you know, when off show, like just talking to him.
Yeah.
And he tells some stories about certain guys and it's just like, ooh. You know?
Well, that was my reaction to a few of the things he was telling me was, ooh. Yeah.
I know I've heard him tell some stories about a certain drummer that we all know. And it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. So it was fun. So I, again, just being able to get away from Chicago area and, you know, just being able to sit back and relax and not worry about emails or phone calls or
right
any just day-to-day nonsense was nice.
Yeah. No, you sounds like you had a good time, man. That's good.
I did. It was very relaxing.
Cool. Very cool.
Didn't have to get up. I didn't get up until like 9 o'clock every day. And then his girlfriend, Jen, she would fix me a latte and just sit out there on the porch and just relax.
You pampered bitch, you.
I know. It was nice.
Came out, gave you a mani and a pedi. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
It's funny.
Yeah, they treated me very nice. So it was good.
Well, cool, man.
So what's going on in your world? What's happening in Aiken IT world?
Busy. You know, I was definitely busy this week with work, but I actually got to do something cool this week, which wasn't planned, but it just sort of happened that actually was very cool for the patriot in me, I guess. On Wednesday, I get this call at like 11:30 from Billy Morris. Mm-hmm. And he was in Twinsburg with the food truck.
All right.
And he was like, hey, why don't you come out? I'll give you a free lunch. And, you know, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about with the project that we're doing. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, free lunch from the fucking food truck. I'm there. Cause that's
since we didn't get any.
Exactly. That was exactly my thought was I didn't get any on fucking Saturday. You're damn right. I'm coming on Wednesday.
Yeah, I would have been there in a flash.
And I was, but I get out there, I go out. It was at the Twinsburg Fire Department. It was a lunch for the Twinsburg firemen and the cops. And I'm out there and, you know, I just came out to hang out really. And Billy was out there, but Billy didn't have anybody with him except for his guy that was working in the truck and just Billy. And then Mike Trevisano was out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was out there. He was in the air.
Was he in the air?
He was in the air. And then ironically, one of his co-hosts now was my intern at WMMS when we first started on the metal show.
All right.
Yeah, Seth. Remember Seth the Barbarian? Yeah, from the old
days? Kind of a big heavy set guy. And yeah. He was taking they were using him as a guinea pig for that weight loss thing.
Yeah, that blue stuff, whatever.
Yeah. I do remember.
Yeah, he was out. So I hadn't seen him in years. So, you know, it was nice to see him. But it was just kind of, it was supposed to be a hang.
Okay.
But then when I got there, Billy didn't have anybody helping him. So I ended up kind of helping him like serve food and stuff for the policemen and for the firemen and whatnot. And it was just the coolest fucking thing in, I guess maybe just because the atmosphere in the world is so fucking shitty right now. It was really cool, man. Billy, you know, before he started serving food, he plugged in a guitar and he played the national anthem for all the cops and the firemen. And, you know, they all kind of stood at attention and hand over heart and, you know, the whole thing. And it was just a really kind of a cool event. So then I'm handing out food to people, you know, and they're all thanking me and Billy. They're like, oh, just thanks so much for doing it. And we're like, Jesus Christ, dude, we're handing you a fucking sandwich. You know, you're risking your life every day on a goddamn traffic stop, you know, and we're giving you a fucking sandwich and some fries. Relax. You know, it was just cool, man. And it, you know, I don't get to get out enough to do that kind of shit. And it was really kind of cool to, especially in the world that we're living in right now, to maybe take an hour and a half, whatever it was, and thank a bunch of cops for, you know, for doing what they do, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I get that sometimes from, you know, people that know that I served and whatnot, you know, they come up with the, oh, thank you for your service thing, you know, and that's cool, I guess. But, you know, it was nice to actually give back for a minute. So that was my cool event of the week.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. And then the food was fucking amazing as always. So, you know, I took the food home with me, and Billy and his chef filled up, you know, those like sandwich things, the styrofoams.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You mean the little takeaway tub, little
yeah.
Styrofoam thing. Yeah.
Well, they filled up three of them with different kinds of meat and stuff. It was fucking amazing.
I imagine.
It was some good eats when I got home. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I think the last time I had any of that Billy's barbecue was at your book release.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that's the last time.
Yeah, and you had some at Pinball PA's open. Yeah, that was
5 years ago, though. Six years ago. Yeah.
You've forgotten the taste in a mere 6 years.
Yeah. Well, you had it at your book release party, and that's the last time I ever had any.
Yeah, that was 3-4 years ago at this point. Yeah,
exactly.
That was what, Call Me Chris, maybe?
Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah. That was years ago at this point. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Where's the fucking time going?
That's when Randy was there and we did show. Everybody did the show. Everybody chimed in on the show.
Yeah.
I think that's when you had to go settle John down because they were in the other room.
Yeah. And by settle him down, you mean threw him over my couch?
No, I didn't see it. It was in the other room, but they were in there arguing. Was he arguing with his brother or something?
He was arguing with AJ.
Yeah.
I went in there and told them both to shut the fuck up, and John stepped up at me, and I knocked him clean over my couch.
Boom! Yeah. So that's the last time.
Yeah, brothers fight.
Yeah. It's people getting loud.
Yeah, but we stopped it. What I remember most about that was that, you know, I came in and I felt bad. I thought Stephanie was going to give me shit. And she was like, good, he fucking deserves it.
Well, you know, whatever. You know what? I can't say that I've ever gotten into a argument like that, a loud argument with anyone.
Right.
Not even once.
Yeah, but you're you almost did fucking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I didn't get into an argument like a loud, you know, screaming match.
That guy wanted to fight you.
Yeah, but I would. Did you see me flinch?
No, of course not, dude. Did you see? I was talking about it last week.
I heard you. I heard.
I pushed part. Stephanie off of me so that if he fucking lunged at you, I could hit him in the back of his head.
Yeah.
It was like, holy fuck, what is wrong? I don't, you know, I get it, you know, because I'll be honest, when you said it to him, I was like, what the fuck is he doing? I thought you were drunk. I ain't gonna lie. I thought you were a little bit drunk.
I wasn't drunk at all. I was just being silly.
But that guy way overreacted.
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
He's like, what'd you fucking say? What'd you fucking say? I was like, dude, chill.
Yeah.
Just fucking relax.
Take a pill.
Yeah.
And then your friend Todd come in. Hey man, he's cool. He's a friend, man.
It's yeah.
Like, all right, take it easy. Nobody's gonna assault this guy.
Right.
Relax. Everybody's cool. Nobody did anything. So take it easy.
The only one threatening to fight was that guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't us. We were just hanging out.
Just sitting there shooting the shit.
Yeah, we were just hanging out. That guy wanted to fight you.
Eh, whatever. it didn't even faze me.
Yeah, it was fine. It was just funny.
Yeah, I thought so. Goofy.
Yep, yep.
Goofy.
Sure.
But that, that hang at Billy's, that was not the best orchestrated thing aside from the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there, I heard you and John's synopsis last week of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is, I was listening to John's viewpoint of what I was trying to accomplish there. And he didn't really know what I was doing. Because when Sal and I went to the Guitar Center to go pick up the mixing board, and I brought one that didn't have the USB.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way to make it work.
Okay.
You know, so I was trying to assess what cables I had with me as opposed to what my laptop had to
right.
the board had. And then when I decided, it was just like, yeah, that's no use here. It's just like, you know, I could try to plug it in, but there's really no way of plugging it in because these new laptops, they don't have inputs anymore.
Right.
You know, they everything's USB now.
Mm-hmm.
Now the old laptops, you had a mic input, you had a you know,
line in, line out,
all that. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, of course not.
So, you know, I was trying to decide if I could figure out a way to make it work, but then after I figured it, it's like, nah, this ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, but he's like, yeah, he's just standing there staring down at it. It's like, now just going through my head, what can I do to make this thing work?
Well, keep in mind, John and I were drinking them pretty quickly. We were putting some beers away very fast.
Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention to how much you guys were drinking. Obviously, I was not drinking until after we decided it was just a shit show.
Yeah.
But you know, I was thinking Billy, and this is no diss on Billy or Todd or anything, but Billy has always taken care of us in his venues and things.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, even if we had a setup that worked,
yeah,
it was almost like a no use for us to even be there.
Yeah, I thought about that after the fact and was like, even if we were there, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, because we didn't have any way of broadcasting the bands that played.
Yeah,
and then in between the bands, those aerial girls were doing their thing and they were blasting music while they were mm-hmm. doing their thing. And it's just like, well, what would we have done?
Yeah, we would have. The best we could have done is turned off the broadcast to the people and just broadcast from there.
Yeah, but the thing is for us to sit there and try to describe what these girls are doing, that just didn't translate, you know?
Yeah, nah. Nah. I almost wonder if it was one of those things that Todd threw it out there just to be polite, and then when he said we'd do it, he was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I thought about it, and it was just like, well, this really wasn't a good venue for us to be doing anything.
No, not because at all.
Usually when we've done these things, you know, especially like 2 years ago when we did the one at Fiori's,
yeah.
We were broadcasting the bands, and then in between the bands we were interviewing people and,
right. and we know, were introing the bands from the stage and everything else
it up, and we would have not been interactive with that setup, you know, 2 weeks ago at all.
No, not at all.
You know, so we were just pushed off into a corner, and then we were by the studio door and people were walking in and out, and it was like, this just is not a good place for us to be.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
So even if we had it working right, it just really would have not been a very good broadcast. So I thought, you know what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, it's just better that we hung in the studio there at Billy's studio and shot the shit and cut up a little bit. And you know, I heard John talk about the little political discussion he and I had, and you know, so on and so forth, and your stories with Stephanie and stuff. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was definitely fun for us, but, you know, wasn't fun for the listeners, but it was fun for us.
So it was kind of a happy, you know, a happy mistake, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Sal had a good time. He and I went over there to the, what is that complex over there just by Billy's place? with all the restaurants and stores and stuff. What did they call that place? It's
Crocker Park.
Crocker Park or Plaza, yeah, or whatever.
Crocker Park.
Yeah. So we went over there and it was like The Walking Dead.
Right.
You know, it was like we went over there and it was like 8:30, I think. 8:30 or a quarter of nine. And the place, everything was open. You know, they had like a Bar Louie's and they had a couple other places open. And we would drive over there and get out of the car and look around and there's not a person to be seen.
Right.
Nowhere. And it's like, it's a quarter of nine on a Saturday night and there's nobody here. Yeah. Nowhere.
Dude, there was a big release on Netflix or something.
I don't know, but we went to a place, I don't remember. It was, they had an outdoor seating type thing, and
right,
they had a couple of young people working there. They had, you know, I guess the bartender, he might have been in his early 20s, and the girl mm-hmm. who served us, she told us she was 19.
Right.
And I go, how is it that you work in a bar at 19?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I can take food orders, but I'm not allowed to bring the drinks to the table.
Oh, good. Well,
so, and she was a pretty good sport. Sal and I were, you know, kind of cutting up, but when we were ordering, the bartender had to come from the bar and bring the drinks from the bar.
So dumb.
And then she could serve the food. So I tipped the bartender $20. I gave her $30.
Wow. Look at you.
Well, no, it's just like these kids aren't making shit.
Right.
Nobody in there. It's like, you know, they were really good to us. I mean, they were real nice and stuff. And it's just like, man, I feel bad for these kids. You know, their whole summer is just blown.
Right.
Or they go to the shit ass. They work the bar, restaurant bar, with no customers.
Right.
Like, how do you make any money? So I just kind of felt bad. So I tipped them, you know, a little bit and hopefully made their evening anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked.
Yeah. Hey, you probably gave them all the money that they made for the night.
That's what I'm saying.
It's it's a clusterfuck out there right now, dude. Believe me, even with fucking Pinball PA, man, let me look. We did. Today for a Saturday, you know, Saturdays I used to do pre-COVID. I used to do like $3,000 on a Saturday. Today, let's take a look. Today I did a whopping $404.
Then you got to pay your staff and the lights and, you know, whatever rent. And mm-hmm. So basically you're still in the hole today.
Oh, I'm way in the hole today.
Yeah. Don was asking me about your pinball place, if you were still open or if that you'd go to the wayside. I said, well, you know, he's trying to hang in there.
I'll hang in. I got a shit ton of fucking stimulus money. So yeah, I'm good.
That's what I told him. He was just like, oh, hey, good for him.
Yeah, first time I've ever looked in a bank account and seen fucking $100,000.
Yeah, well, were you able to at least give some to your landlord?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get it. Dude, it's not like I saw it and I'm keeping it.
Oh, I didn't say that. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm sure that you didn't give it all to him.
No. Actually, I bought a building.
You bought a building?
I did.
What do you mean you bought a building?
I mean, just that. I bought a building. We had a building over one town over that we use for storage.
Okay. Yeah. I'm aware of that. That's where you keep the games, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we were paying rent on that. And then we were paying the taxes off of it. We were paying a low rent, but we were paying the tax on the building every year. So the guy offered me the building for 10 grand. So I bought it.
Oh, well, hey, how about that?
So I bought, you know, it's worth 80 whatever $1,000. So, you know,
well, why did he cut it loose for so cheap?
Cause he needed money.
Oh, okay.
Like everybody else, he needed coin.
Okay.
So I had that money. So it's like, fuck it. Here you go, dude. You know? Yeah. I'm just waiting on I'm waiting on all the legal shit to get here via FedEx.
Yeah, about that.
You know, but yeah, now I'm a building heir. I own a building.
Very nice. Well, good for you.
Which means if all of this shit falls apart, I have somewhere to live now.
I could live in my storage shed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
So So yeah, that's, I guess that was another thing I did this week, is I bought a building.
Well, good for you.
So lucky good. Me.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? The thing is, you got to grab those opportunities when they present themselves.
Yeah. Well, and really it was just about saving money. Really. It wasn't about spending money. It was about, you know, this can cut me, you know, several thousand dollars a year of spending.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fucking buy it. And like I said, if the world goes to shit, I got somewhere I can stay. I'm not even kidding. You know? I say that somewhat in jest, but that's like my biggest fear ever, is being homeless.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know I have people that I could fucking call, and I could probably stay with them as long as I wanted to, but who wants to do that?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
You know, I'd rather just have a place that I could turn on the heat and I'd be good.
Yeah. I get you. I live fairly simple too, you know? So if something were to happen here for any reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could downgrade and do a one room apartment like the rep.
Yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the 300 square foot apartment, dude.
As long as you keep it clean and you don't have a greasy stain on your pillow.
Yeah, big old pillow with a brown stain in the middle of it.
Gross.
Yes, it was pretty nasty.
Gross. All right, dude. Well, unless you have something else, I think it's time to take a short break.
Nah, let's play some tunes.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that documentary you had me watch last night.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because I got a few things to say about that.
I'd imagine.
But we'll definitely talk about that. So what would you like to hear?
All right, let's go with, I watched this documentary called Get Thrashed yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen it up on the
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Really good. And it really highlighted a lot of the kind of the Bay Area stuff and the New York stuff and the crossover and stuff. So it put me in that mood. So I'm going to go very, very old school. I'm going to go with some Slayer, and I'm going to go with like Fight Till Death. That'll be good. Fight Till Death from Show No Mercy.
All right.
Let's go way old.
All right. Very cool. Well, speaking of thrash stuff, I'm wondering, you know, if this COVID, I guess we'll have to ask him if this COVID has any effect on Bob Nalbandian's next release.
Well, Bob actually told me today that Bay Area Godfathers is coming out October the 6th.
Oh, very nice.
And you and I should have viewing links to it pretty quickly here.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So it's coming.
All right. Very, very good.
3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, and we'll have it.
Okay. What was I going to play for you now?
You were going to play some Slayer, Fight Till Death.
Okay. Let's see here. Fight. There we go. I got it. All right. Well, we're going to play some Slayer, a couple more tunes. We're going to come back and we'll do some more stuff. So here it is. It's Slayer exclusively here
on your classic metal show.